This is the FM Gold Channel of All India Radio. In the program News Analysis, now we bring you a discussion on Ayushman Bharat National Health Protection Mission. The participants are Dinesh Arora from Ministry of Health and Family Welfare and Aditi Tandon, journalist.
The Union Cabinet yesterday approved the most ambitious health program in the world, called Ayushman Bharat. Dr. Arora, we know Ayushman Bharat has two important components. The first component is the National Health Protection Scheme, which is ambitious in its goals in the sense that it seeks to provide 5 lakh of financial protection to about 10 crore Indian families, and there's no limit to the family size. The second component of the program is comprehensive healthcare package, which the government is saying it will provide through health and wellness centers. The existing sub-centers will be converted into wellness centers and a range of diagnostic services will be provided there. The idea is to create a continuum of care from primary, secondary to tertiary. Now, it sounds very daunting on the surface. How will you actually achieve it?
I think it's a historic moment. It's a historic moment for the whole country, especially for the poor and vulnerable. Imagine a poor is being empowered today. A poor and vulnerable is being given the freedom of choice. That, look, the government has put 5 lakhs in my wallet. I can go and purchase my health care. So this is perhaps a first serious attempt after RSPY by the government to go into a demand-side financing. Till date, we have been doing supply-side financing, like National Health Mission, which has done to a good extent. This is the first time we have ventured seriously into a demand-side financing. Yes, for the first time we have seen the health as a holistic. It's not only catering to secondary treatment like, say, appendicitis or hernia. It's not only leading to a treatment of cancer, but it's affecting right from the comprehensive primary health care where each one of us is affected. So the model of Ayushman Bharat is that you should have a wellness center at the top down. The foundation is a wellness center, primary health care. Once you need hospitalization, you are referred above to a secondary and tertiary centers. And once your treatment is done, you are followed back at a primary health center. This will take some time to achieve. For the first time right now, we are achieving for the National Health Protection Scheme, what is the National Health Protection Mission being announced yesterday. I will not say it's only ambitious. I will again say it's a bold, courageous and historic. Imagine RSPY was 30,000 per individual. This scheme is 17 times more bigger.
Absolutely. In fact, I would steal your words. You just mentioned bold, historic and courageous. These were the words used by the Director General of WHO, Tedros Ghebreyesus, who was at Niti Aayog last week for a special lecture. And he actually said that the way India is setting ambitious and bold health targets, that's the way to plan health. And he said that he's been to many countries of the world and he's seen, you know, small targets being set. And even if small targets are achieved, you don't manage to reach the population so much. Coming back to the National Health Protection Scheme, there is a lot of concern around which model will be adopted. The government has said that states are free to choose trust for an insurance or a mixed model. Can you elaborate on how the premium will be worked out? Because that's one financial area of concern to people.
I think this is one scheme which is giving real flexibility to the states. So we are saying that we are in alliance with the states, we are partnering states, and the mode of implementation will be decided by states. We have a well-defined insurance model, say in like in Tamil Nadu, in Maharashtra, in Rajasthan. On the other hand, we have trust models working in Telangana, Andhra. So states have been given a cafeteria approach, whether they would like to go for an insurance model or a trust model. Now in insurance model, it's basically that once you, on the prices, a premium is quoted by an insurance company, they are selected. Then the insurance company has to provide treatment to all those people of a defined package. While in the trust model, you have the society or the trust which is providing the services to do more of a roles like insurance company. So it's precisely a governance issue. Those states who like to go for a trust model, they should go for trust. Others can go for insurance. For example, even Andhra Pradesh, before graduating to the trust model, started with an insurance model. Once they picked up the capacities, they went to a trust model. Another thing which we are doing is we are allowing a mixed model. For example, you can have an insurance model for 2 lakhs and above that you can have an assurance model or a trust model.
So there is enough flexibility and enough choice for
states.
But coming back to the question of premium, it has been seen through Rashtriya Swasthya Bima Yojana that the objectives of the scheme were not achieved as much as was expected. It was a good start, but somehow, you know, somewhere it was lacking. Today, Mr. J.P. Nadda, Minister of Health, while talking about National Health Protection Scheme, made a very important statement saying that in the new scheme, we are learning from the mistakes of the past. Now, I want to ask you that the private insurance firm is in this whole game for profits. That's the general understanding. Why would they, for instance, not do unnecessary procedures on people visiting them? What are your safeguards in this very big scheme to prevent those kind of things from happening? We've seen, you know, in Chhattisgarh earlier, how hysterectomies were done. We have these past
on
male patients. These are very scary examples of private sector involvement. That is why people are a little worried.
Absolutely. So a lot of homework has gone into this. We have seen not only the experiences of RSPY. In fact, 24 states were running some kind of their own schemes. And we have also studied the global models. The global models of America, Europe, European Union, South Korea, Thailand, Philippines, Indonesia, Brazil. And then we have come up with a scheme. I cannot say that we cannot go wrong, but we have a well thought out scheme laid out. And we will keep on improving on this.
So are you hinting that you will actually have IT-enabled safeguards to prevent these kind of unnecessary procedures, moral hazards as we call them?
Absolutely. This scheme has a partnering with both insurance companies as well as with public and private hospitals. And all these are important stakeholders. Like there can be a conversion of outpatients into inpatients. You can have frivolous cases. And to check that, we are going to build up a robust IT system which will throw triggers. Like for example, if one hospital, people are coming from different far areas, why is coming? Is some touts been getting there? Or if one hospital is doing different kind of procedure, same kind of procedure on different people, why it's happening? So we are not only going for detection of frauds, we are going for a prevention of frauds here. A trigger is being built up on the IT system, including field visits, including crack teams. For the last 10 years, learning curve has grown very fast. We are going to apply that here.
That's an excellent approach if you're going to actually have alarm bells within the system and to protect, you know, the poor and vulnerable. Because as we learned today, that it's the socio-economic caste census data which is being used as the beneficiary data. Now, the second question, Dr. Arora, arises, how do you actually determine the beneficiaries, that this is the person who needs to get this package?
Absolutely. Actually, this is perhaps the best part of the scheme and the challenging part of the scheme. Imagine in RSPY, the problem we had was the enrollment. So for even till date, the enrollment is 54% of what could have been the final after 10 years. Now this scheme from day one says entitlement. Enrollment means if I need to have the scheme, I should go somewhere and get myself recorded and take some evidence out of this. My scheme says entitlement. National Health Protection Mission says those who are in the list are eligible from day one. Just go to the point of care and have treatment. Now how do you identify those? Perhaps the main mode again here is SECC data, which have a unique ID. It's called AHL10. And whenever the person comes to the hospital, we will do an Aadhaar seeding and KYC test. Now, this doesn't mean that if somebody doesn't have an Aadhaar, he will be denied. We can take some other government-prescribed IDs like ration card or a voter ID card or say in Rajasthan a Bhamasha card or in Madhya Pradesh a Samagra card. But still, we will encourage an individual to have an Aadhaar card. This will be the prime mode of identification through an online system so that we do not have impersonated people and also rightful people are not denied.
Mr. Nadda was today mentioning that the health ministry is actually going to send letters to beneficiaries. That's interesting.
That's right. SEC data has been tailed over NPR data, the National Population Register, which was updated in 2015. So that means the data which we are using for household is 2015 dated. This has addresses. So there is a proposal on the cards that we should inform each and every beneficiary, even through a personalized letters, so that they are aware. They can carry their letters with the AHL TIN number written, which could be QR coded and which will help an easy identification at the spot.
Now, as I understand from what you are saying, I figure that the insurance premium or whatever the trust model or the insurance model, the premium of the service will be decided as you go by. And we also know now for a fact that there will be a national health agency to actually oversee the whole program. And it is also being planned, if I'm correct, to have a grievance redressal mechanism. Because that's very important. If the beneficiary is not given a service, where does he go? Where will that be inbuilt and who will look after grievance redressal?
Very relevant question. I think in RSPY we had a system where the grievance once escalated to state level, the final appeal lied with the CEO of the insurance company. This may not happen in NHPM. Here the final appeal will lie with the independent government authority here. Two, we will have a short called national helpline. Anybody who feels has a grievance, has a problem, can call that number. 24/7 it will run once it is set in motion. Now this helpline will not only be for grievance, it will be only for feedback, it will be also for information. You can ask, there will be a search engine there whether I am entitled for this scheme, where are the empaneled hospitals should I go, this is the procedure I am going, and they can also record if any hospital asks for any money. This scheme is total cashless, paperless. We are defining the rates of the packages, and whichever the empaneled hospitals have to honor them. If even a single pie is taken more from a person, they can complain to us, and I can assure you we will take action on that.
So if a certain service provider is violating operational guidelines, which you are just explaining, what is the penal provision in the...
These are being defined, but I can tell you that it will range from a penal provision to even blacklisting, disempanelment, and they will not be able to participate in any of the tenders further. So it's a strong deterrence message we want to send. This is a mission which I'm actually very thankful to the Prime Minister, to the Honorable Minister, for giving us such a huge implicated scheme that we need to implement in right earnest and letter spirit.
So it appears that the safeguards have actually been worked on very hard. And now the most important part of the discussion, Dr. Arora, is the service itself, the procedures, the packages. We've been told that around 1300 packages are being currently debated, but it's not yet final. And we've also been told that all major surgeries, which lead to catastrophic out-of-pocket expenditure, especially among the poor and vulnerable populations, are going to be covered. Now, that's a very exciting list. Can you comment on that?
We have been guided here with the mission mode here. In last 10 years, data shows that 300% has increased the cost of hospitalization. Catastrophic expenditures means those expenditures which make a house impoverished. It affects nearly 8 crore people annually. Nearly 64% is out-of-pocket expenditures, means people have to spend from their pocket by either selling assets or taking loans. So we are trying to cover under this scheme perhaps most of the secondary hospitalization and almost every tertiary hospitalization.
And what is the kind of timeline you think you are looking at in terms of completing the testing procedures, because there's so much IT component involved?
The IT strategy is on track. We are working in a track modules, not only preparing the ITs but also testing it, and then training the state officials so that they can use those will take some time. It will depend upon the readiness of the states. Those states which get ready faster, perhaps we'll be able to evolve faster and roll out the scheme.
Are we looking at state-specific launch of the Ayushman Bharat project or national?
This is as the states get ready, I think they should be able to roll out. But of course, this scheme has a national character of national portability. Perhaps the biggest attraction of this scheme is portability. European Union has a scheme which doesn't work portable. America has a scheme which is not very interoperable. This scheme by design will be portable. For example, anybody in Jharkhand who's entitled for a scheme there, falls sick in, say, Delhi or Karnataka or Mumbai, he will be entitled for a treatment free of cost.
So any citizen can seek service anywhere in the country.
Absolutely.
That is what you mean by portability. Let's discuss a bit about the primary healthcare component of the Ayushman Bharat project. It's now being said that about 12 services will be provided to people close to the community, which means the village level. And it has been said that 1.5 lakh wellness and sub-centers will be upgraded into those. And also non-communicable diseases will be addressed, diagnostic facilities. I believe 3 cancers will be screened at village level, if I'm correct, breast, cervix and oral. What else will be done?
In this limelight of National Health Protection Mission of the insurance, we lost somewhere the sight of a very, very important announcement made in the budget of comprehensive primary health care, which is going to touch one of us. Now, the sub-centers or in some states public health, PHCs, they will be made into comprehensive health and wellness centers. They will have telemedicine, they will have diagnostic components, they will have the traditional system of medicines, and they have a wellness concept here. All being built up here along with NCDs. So, for example, if you want a ENT specialist, there will be telemedicine consultation with him. If you have ophthalmology, a consultation again with him. So it's going to be a very, very comprehensive at the doorstep level, at the sub-center level.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
You were listening to a discussion on Ayushman Bharat National Health Protection Mission. The participants were Dinesh Arora from Ministry of Health and Family Welfare and Aditi Tandon, journalist. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of All India Radio. This program is also available on our website, newsonair.nic.in. You may email your opinion about this program at airnsdtalks@gmail.com.